Boys, Cubs, Indians, who do you got?
Cubbies.
How many?
Six.
I'm calling seven.
The Mets.
Mets.
The Mets.
I wish.
Got the Mets.
Maybe last year, unfortunately. One quick programming note, everybody. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts all in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. However, if you want to listen to just this podcast week by week, search SNY.TV Rangers, hit subscribe, and you'll be set. And of course, as always, make sure to rate and review our show so they don't get rid of us. Hit the music.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm going to be joined by former Rangers goaltender Corey Hirsch in just a few minutes. We're going to look back at the Rangers' winning weekend with wins against Washington and Arizona. We're going to talk about Oscar Lindbergh's debut and the possibility of trading for a top four defenseman. Nick and Adam, let's talk about Saturday first. One of the more gritty Ranger wins, I think, in a long time. A huge win in Washington.
It reminded me a lot of the whole weekend reminded me of the Tortorella teams with the block shots and the physical
play. Finding ways, yeah.
Yeah, and just like it was a lot like 2 years ago where they just found a way. No matter what, it just happened. 2 points ended up in the Rangers column.
They weren't able to use their speed as effectively as we saw in the first four games. And maybe their worst period of the year on Saturday to open it up against the Capitals. I mean, they did not look good. It was a very slow start for the Rangers, but like you guys said, they found a way to get the gears going, and they showed that they can play a little bit of a versatile game and grind out victories if they have to.
It's a game you're not supposed to win when you're down 2-0 early in Washington. You think that's going to be a 4-1, 4-5 loss, right?
Yeah, and they turned it around in the second. They were great in the second period, and you know they were able to get going and tie the game, and then you know in the third period when they had the lead, they just kind of, you know, they held. They didn't break. They didn't really give up a lot of quality chances. They just kind of played a solid game that, you know, like you said, Brian, you probably didn't think they were going to win.
No way. And what a move by Jimmy Vesey.
Holy smokes. He looked good. He looked, look at the power. He looked like Rick Nash.
Alzer's a heck of a defensive defenseman. He made him look silly.
And he beat Holpe. He had to beat Pocheck. He opened up Holpe. He beat him between the legs. I mean, Vesey looks like he can play. Might be getting a little ahead of himself saying he thinks he's got
three
it all
goals.
Figured out.
It's a great
but
sign.
He can play. I agree. And Peary getting the scoring, open them. The depth for the Rangers, something that they haven't had in years, four lines that can score.
Yeah.
It's nice.
How are you feeling about Brandon Peary now, Adam?
Well, he scored. So if he scores, he plays his role correctly.
Okay.
If he doesn't score or create offense, he doesn't really have a spot in the lineup.
Let's talk about Sunday's game as well. This one baffled me. I'm happy they won. I'm happy Hank played well. But that is a game that should have been circled in August or whenever the schedule came out for AV. That's a game Antti Raanta is supposed to start. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
I 100% agree with you. And especially, you know, if the Rangers had won Saturday night's game the way they'd won a couple of other games, really easy, kind of like not a lot for Lundqvist, then I could have seen giving him the start on Sunday for the back-to-back. But then there was such an emotional game. It became such a tough game that you figured, no doubt about it, Raanta is going to get this start. And then
travel involved? Like, it makes no sense.
And then, you know, they said they didn't because they were off, you know, yesterday. They don't play until Wednesday. It just, I agree. It didn't make sense. And I don't know. You have to give Lundqvist fewer games. They've cut down on the amount of shots by far.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still need to give him fewer games.
I was very surprised to see him in there. But I don't know what AV was going for there. Like you guys said, Raanta has to play to give Lundqvist. You think that's the game, Brian, like you said, where they give him the break. They didn't. And, I mean, they needed him to win that game when push came to shove.
I know there's dialogue between Hank and the coaching staff, and he's going to want to play every night. But, I mean, how many times do I have to say this? He's going to be 35 when the playoffs start. The wheels are going to start to fall off a little bit. At some point, he's got to be fresh for when the postseason gets underway.
Well, they have – I looked it up yesterday, like a somewhat brutal stretch in November where, they've got, I think, three different occasions of three games in four nights. And, you know, I think Raanta is going to play. And
he
He's definitely going to. And I think that we were all just surprised at the lack of a back-to-back situation. But, you know, I don't know. It was weird, but I know Rant is going to get his 15 to 20 games. I kind of was hoping he'd get 20 to 25.
What about Dan Girardi?
The game winner. He's playing better.
He really is.
He doesn't. He's
it's
not.
Great to see. I mean, again, he can't play 81, 82 games, no, obviously, and he's not going to. We know that already.
Not a top pair defenseman anymore. But look,
if he can play 15, 16 minutes and contribute, it's a great sign.
The salary is what it is. I mean, as long as he's not a liability out on the ice, he's shown his the ability in years past, obviously, to be a top tier shutdown defenseman. To have that on your third pair or a mix and match on your second pair. It's a nice weapon for the Rangers to have. You have to use what you spent the money on, and he's there, and forget about scoring a goal. I mean, I was not expecting that.
Not at all. And you know what? I think a lot of this, too, Kevin Klein being back, he just balances everything out, right, Adam?
He's just solid. Everything, yeah. Like you said, everything becomes more balanced when you have Kevin Klein. He's not great. He's not terrible.
Right.
He's just
never going to win a Norris.
Yeah, he's just there. He's a professional NHL defenseman, and that's what you need. You're not going to have six Ryan McDonoughs. You're not going to have six Drew Doughtys. You're going to have probably three just professional-level defensemen, and Kevin Klein is that guy.
He fits his role very well.
Really does.
This weekend for me for the Rangers was tremendous. To grind out the win in Washington, and then Sunday – With Kreider down and Buchnevich down and Lindbergh in the lineup, Faust and Grabner on the third line, they looked more like the team of last year that game because their depth was zapped. It was a true test of what they had. And look, Arizona's not the best team. They're very young. They're going to be susceptible to losses
really
like
trip.
That. Yeah, an early road trip. But it's a game that you have to win if you're the Rangers, and they got the job done.
We're going to talk about a potential trade for a top four defenseman in a few minutes here. Before we do that, Oscar Lindbergh came back a little bit earlier than I think we all anticipated. What did you think of his game Sunday night?
I thought it was okay. He seemed to be on the ice for like 17 shots against. So, you know, advanced metrics-wise, he wasn't good. But he's just another guy to have. He's more depth. I think that he's probably been ready for like a week, but yeah. They were just kind of really making sure he was ready and, you know, just – everything was going well. There was no need to change things up until their hand was forced with Kreider. But, you know, I like having Lindbergh there. He won some faceoffs. So he's just, you know, he's a solid guy to have.
Not a terrible first game back. Good 12, 13 forward for right now until he's fully in the swing of things. But decisions to be made now. They can play the IR game for as long as they want with Kreider and Buchnevich, but eventually they're going to have to make a move on something.
Yeah, who's the odd man out here, Adam? There's such a logjam as far as bottom six forwards go.
I don't know. I think that I don't think they know either at this point because, you know, you have to see what Buchnevich is like when he comes back. And obviously Kreider's coming back. And then is Jurs getting bounced? He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And Lindbergh, you know, Lindbergh had a spot until he got hurt. So, you know, there's a lot of different. I think that they're in a position right now where there are going to be certain games where they're going to need extra defensive forwards. And that's a game where Brandon Peary's not going to play. And you'll go with Lindbergh and Jurs. And then there are going to be other games where you might want Peary in there. I just think that it's going to be a rotation for a while.
And if that's the case with all of them in the lineup, it could mean the end of McElrath. Because right now there's 24 players. As unfortunate as that is to say, as a fan of him and the way he plays the game and thinking that the Rangers could use that, they can't keep everybody. There's 24 players on the roster right now with one of these guys on the IR, and I don't think Buchnevich is out long-term. I don't think Kreider's out long-term. Girardi's back already. How long can they play the game for?
We're recording the show late Tuesday morning. The Rangers are about to take the ice in about 15, 20 minutes. Does it sound like Kreider could potentially practice on Tuesday afternoon, or is this going to be a few more days, Adam? What do you think?
I think it's probably going to be a few more days. The neck is obviously something you don't want to mess with, and spasms or strains. Like, I'd hold him out tomorrow night just to be safe.
He's been so good. Yeah, it's a tough
he's
time.
He's been so good. And Adam's right. You don't want to mess around with this because you want him to be 100% when they do come back because he's been their best player.
Yeah, the way he was playing with his game at that level, he brings the Rangers to from the middle of the pack to potentially the upper tier teams. Now I'm not going to say that they're there right away, but he's playing at an elite level, a number one power forward. Not many teams had that. It's a rare beast in today's NHL, especially with that speed. The Rangers need Kreider healthy. tough time to see him go down with an odd injury.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Zibanejad yet either. He's been fantastic too. 6 points already, Adam.
He's just, like we said, I think, like, he's just
he's so good.
He's so much fun to watch. Yeah. He's smooth with the puck. He's fast. He makes plays. He's just, he's been a really good fit so far.
He's so noticeable on the ice, and I think versatile is a good word for him. The power play, the penalty kill, scoring line. He could play a defensive line, taking key faceoffs. He fit in so well in a spot where the Rangers, they really had no room for error with that trade if they were going to make the playoffs this year. And for him to come in and be as big of a home run as he has, I think is tremendous.
Corey Hirsch is on the phone. Hi, Corey.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. What do you think of this Ranger team so far? They're pretty fast, aren't they?
You know what? They're a lot better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
At the start of the year, especially after last year, I didn't think they would have improved this much, but you're getting some pretty good efforts by some players. And I thought that they really should have destroyed Arizona that night. Nash ended up getting robbed by Louis Domingue on a glove save, but still, I thought they dominated that game.
Corey, it's Nick. How you doing, buddy? What do you think of Kreider's game so far? I mean, he's really taken a big step forward for the Rangers this year. Do you think he can keep that up? Has he finally reached his prime here and taken the next step?
You know what? When I watch him play, he's been pretty exciting. He's played really well. I think Alain Vigneault has done a great job of putting him in situations where he's going to be successful. And I think that, you know, when you look at his past history, everyone was kind of waiting to see, you know, what was he going to be? Is he going to be a guy that's going to get bounced around a bunch of teams and you know, everybody hoping that he'd, live up to his potential? But I think the Rangers have done a good job. I'm sure in the summer they spoke to him. I think Vigneault's done a good job of getting him in a position where he can be successful, and it seems like he's taking advantage of it right now.
Corey, I got to ask you, being a former goalie yourself, I was kind of baffled that Henrik Lundqvist played again on Sunday after playing that really intense game in Washington Saturday night, travel involved, everything else. Were you surprised as well, or am I reading too much into this?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, but I think that Henrik has had 4 starts in the past, and I think what their thought process was is they want to get him playing and playing early and often so that he kind of gets rolling, and he's not sitting on the bench watching one game and then playing. I think they're trying to avoid that situation where he goes into those little slumps at the start of the year where he doesn't play. So I think they're just kind of trying to play him through it. And they're playing well. I mean, they're winning. So why not, right? I mean, just keep them running.
You mentioned Rick Nash earlier getting robbed against Arizona. He seems slimmer, faster this year. He hasn't had the scoring touch, a little bit of bad luck. The tail end of his prime, how big of a role do you see him having on this team? And can he still be a 30, 35 goal scorer at this stage of his career?
I do think he can be a 30, 35 goal scorer. I do like what you say about he looks a little slimmer, a little faster. He's still not the fastest player. I would like to see them do what Arizona has done with Shane Doan. In a way, very similar scoring styles where they have, you know, Doner here in Arizona has a great shot, and he slowed down a little bit. They get a little older, but they put him on the power play and they put him in positions to score all the time. And I would like to see the Rangers do that with him, worry less about his other parts of his game and just continue to put him in spots on the power play in the offensive zone where the other two guys do the work and he gets in a position to score.
Corey, Pierre LeBrun was saying the other day that the Rangers could still be in the market for a top 4 defenseman. Obviously, Jacob Trouba is still waiting to be traded. Hampus Lindholm in Anaheim hasn't signed yet. Do the Rangers have the pieces to pull off such a trade?
That's a good question. The one thing that the Rangers are missing to me is that bona fide, really superstar, bring you out of your seats electric player.
Yeah.
They just seem like a team of it's tough to say because I think you need a player like that to win eventually. So I could see them looking for that. However, sometimes the best team wins, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have a lot of players just kind of going in the same direction, following the game plan. I would like to see them get a superstar. I think Trouba on the back end would be a pretty nice addition.
Sure.
As a former goaltender, what's your take on this Rangers defense? They're mixing and matching a lot of guys. Clendenning's in and out, Girardi, Nick Holden, Makarets played a game. Is it good enough to keep Hank fresh and so he's not facing 30, 40 shots every night?
I think it's good enough just to stay on par with all the other teams in the National Hockey League. I think if they want to win, I would like to see them add somebody. They're a little bit slow on the back end. They'd like to see Mikorath, and that's one of the things that Mikorath has never really, he's a big, tough kid that really has a tough time kind of keeping up with the speed. And I think that they were kind of counting on him a little bit more to develop. So I would like to see that happen. But, you know, if they could get a guy like Trouba, that would be, that would put the Rangers up in the top five of the National Hockey League.
Corey, let's talk about you for a couple of minutes. Obviously, you have a lot of history with this Ranger team. What was it like walking into that room for the first time 25 years ago? Just the goalies alone, Mike Richter and John Van Biesbroeck. That must have been pretty intimidating for you, I would think.
Yeah, well, here's how I explain it to people, is that you could play for the Mets, you could play for the Devils, you could play for the Islanders. That's all great. But when you play for the Rangers, it's like playing for the Yankees. It is absolutely the coolest, most amazing experience in the world, and everybody loves you. And just walking into the room, and Messier was in there, Richter, Van Biesbroeck, all those guys were there, and the experience of the first time that I got called up was to the Boston Guard, and Richter was the goalie, and I just remember walking into the Boston Guard and going, holy crap, this is the Boston Guard. But it was an absolute pit. The dressing rooms were awful. It really was. But the history, and then being there with the Rangers, and then sitting on the bench looking across, it is so cool. To play for the Rangers at Madison Square Garden is the ultimate experience. And the only thing I compare it to would be like to play for the Yankees.
Yeah. And Mike is such a great guy. Did he take you under his wing a little bit?
I idolized him.
Yeah.
To watch him and how hard he practiced and every day, I absolutely idolized him. He was who I wanted to be at, but I could never keep up the Mike's work ethic. It was off the charts. And who was really good to me? John Van Biesbroeck was excellent to me. He took me out for dinners, let me stay at his place, and he was awesome to me.
Just the competitive nature that pro athletes have. Were you okay with the trade to Vancouver just because you probably figured you were never going to play in New York just given how good Richter was?
Yeah, the issue with back then, and it's even a little bit today, is that the Rangers have so much money. These teams that are big money teams, they really, especially back then, they would just go and sign a free agent. So as a young guy, you always knew that you were more apt to be kind of trade bait for them.
Yeah.
For a bigger, better player, which is fine. I mean, that was the way the rules were, and that's the way it was. And then when Healy signed the 4-year deal to be a backup to Mike Richter at $1 million a year, I knew that was, for me, was I was going to have to move on somewhere else. And I was upset about getting traded because I wanted to play for the Rangers, but it ended up working out good for me anyway.
Yeah, it sure did. I read a pretty gut-wrenching story about you in the Toronto Star about a year and a half ago. Just sounded like you were in a really bad spot a couple of years back after losing your job with the Blues as their goalie coach. I know you were going through a divorce and everything else. Kind of wondering where that next paycheck was going to come from with three kids. How much of a better spot are you in now as opposed to a couple of years ago?
Well, it's been really a whirlwind, and it's with the media stuff that I'm doing, I've kind of found out really what I love.
So yeah.
Interesting how you'll think that it's the worst thing that can happen to you, and then it's really actually one of the best things that happened to you. So, I mean, I'm doing what I love. I'm extremely happy. The hard part is that when I left the game, I went right back to hockey, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
But I still never developed kind of a plan B, and coaching is volatile. And I think I've tried to get really involved with afterlife hockey stuff, and if players, you need a plan B. You have to have something else other than hockey. You can't just have hockey. And I think that's where guys get in trouble. Then all of a sudden it ends, and then you're like, okay, well, now what? And if I can just recommend to any player out there, have something else going.
Yeah.
It ends quickly.
Not everybody makes millions and millions of dollars, man. And there's pro athletes, like you said.
No.
They, right?
But it's interesting because I had breakfast with a friend of mine who I won't mention his name, but he made a lot of money. He made probably, you know, 50 to 75 million playing in the NHL. And I asked him, what do you do every day?
Yeah.
He's like, I have no idea. You know? And it's nice to have that money, but it's not like those guys can go just take a job for $35,000 and work at, you know, a golf shop or something. They're like, well, what would be the point?
Yeah.
Right? So it's a whole nother different kind of ball of wax. I mean, we shouldn't feel sorry for those guys.
Of course.
But, you know, that's what it is.
Well, I'm glad things are working out for you, Corey. I really am. And hopefully we can have you on again real soon. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Former Rangers goaltender Corey Hurst, terrific guy. You can catch him every day from 4 to 6 on NHL Network Radio on Sirius XM with Scotty Lachlan, another really great guy. It's a really good story, Nick.
It's a great story, yeah. And to battle back and come through what he did in a tough spot, I mean, like he said, you could turn when you're down, you could turn them into blessings. It's really a promising story.
Let's talk about the potential trade. Corey seems to think Jacob Trouba would really help the Rangers. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. I just don't know if they have the pieces to make such a deal. What do you think, Adam?
I don't think they have the pieces.
Or the cap space.
They don't have anything to make that kind of monumental move without, you know, really reshuffling, you know, a core player. You know, if you're going to – like we've talked about before, like JT Miller or Chris Kreider.
Yeah.
They're good players, but I'm not even sure Winnipeg would want them because, you know, they have Patrick Laine and stuff. Like, maybe that's a fit somewhere in Anaheim if Cam Fowler gets moved or Sammy Vatanen, or I doubt that they're going to trade Lindholm because, you know, they're working so hard to sign him. But, you know, it all just doesn't seem like it's going to be a fit.
I think Trouba's the ideal guy when you look at the Rangers.
Sure.
And what they need and who they need. But like you said, Adam, I just don't know if they can get him unless they find some way to work out a three-team trade. And Fowler's a guy that Winnipeg would want in a deal for Trouba. And Anaheim wants JT Miller. And there's some combination of Miller for Fowler and then Fowler for Trouba with smaller ads to make everybody else happy. But I just, even giving up JT Miller, I mean, he's got 4 points on the year. He's having a good year. He hasn't been bad for the Rangers. I think he's been very good, very effective. He's a tough guy to give up.
It's not about him being bad.
He's the most expendable.
It's about you have to give up something to get something.
Right.
So if you want to trade for a premium quality talent like a Cam Fowler or a Trouba, you need to give up a quality. You know, it's just like Derek Brassard.
Yeah.
The Rangers had to give up arguably their best center to get Mika Zibanejad so they could continue, you know, hopefully rebuilding in this way.
They want a lefty defenseman in return. To me, it's Brady Shea. Which I'm okay with. I'm trading Brady Shea for Jacob Trouba. But that's not going to get it done. The Rangers have to throw in somebody else.
And then you're looking at Miller and Shea. And at that point, you consider it. But that's a hefty price to pay.
Yeah.
Trouba's got to come in and be a hit right away. He can't be out of shape. He can't really take time to adjust. And then the Rangers need it. Well, Holden could play the third pair and fill in Shea's side on the left side for the Rangers if Trouba's the top pair righty. So it does bring balance to the Rangers defense. It would leave a hole in the top nine, but all these young forwards, I mean, they're there for a reason. So I think out of everybody the Rangers have, Miller's the most likely to go for a defenseman.
You bring up a good point about Trouba as well. Obviously, I would assume he's skating on his own, but it's even when if he did come here, probably take him 2 or 3 weeks to get into shape. Not game shape. Well, you know, get back into the speed of the game is what I'm trying to say.
He's not coming in here, you know, playing and ready to go. You know, we saw Eric Staal, you know, had his struggles, you know, and he was playing every day. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's a move the Rangers can feasibly make unless they're willing to make a dramatic change that they weren't willing to make in the summer.
One thing we can all agree on, the ice at MSG is better than the ice at Barclays Center, right?
How about that?
What a disaster.
Yeah, they've got like those paper tubes that come in the the paper towels under there.
I feel bad for those players because obviously a guy like John Tavares who wants to be a 100-point guy, how do you do that when you're playing on that surface 41 times?
It's tough. It's not fair to him, really,
it
when
really
push
isn't.
Comes to shove.
You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to speak with Sidney Esiason this week. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Hank is playing pretty well, as we talked about earlier in the show. I still think Raanta should have played the other night, but like we said, they've got to find games for Antti Raanta. As this, you said, obviously the schedule is pretty busy next month. Raanta has to get some games, right?
I can't imagine that they're going to play Lundqvist four games in six nights. I think Raanta's probably going to get two of those games. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Raanta get two out of the three in a three games in four nights out of one of those things. Because I think that the key is you want to get Henrik going, but then you also need to, once he's in his groove, he kind of then can get him back a little bit. And, you know, he doesn't need to find his game as much as he had to the past week or so.
I agree. You got to get him up to speed. And then once he's there, put him in cruise control. And you could let Raanta play. It's just a matter of getting him there. He still looks...
Is he up? You guys don't think he's up to speed?
No.
He looks good.
After the weekend, I think he's up to speed.
Yeah, that I'll agree with.
Fair enough.
I think you see a little bit of signs of age. And anybody 34, 35, I think he's looking around a little bit. I don't think he looks as confident as at least I'm used to seeing Henrik Lundqvist play. Not that he's playing bad. Not that he's not playing well.
Yeah.
But he's not at that level yet that Henrik Lundqvist has been at for so long. And he's 34, 35. Is he going to be the elite of the elite for another 3-4 years, or when does it start? It is. It's a lot to ask out of anybody. You don't know. Look, he's playing very well for the Rangers. I still think that we've seen more, and there's potentially more left in the gas tank for him to be fully in gear.
I feel like this is a Terry Collins, Matt Harvey Game 5 World Series scenario where Hank is like, I can go. Let me start. But at the end of the day, AV's the coach. He has to sit Henrik down and say, look, you're not 25 anymore. We need you come April. The Coyotes are in town. We've got this. Raanta's going to play tonight.
Well, if we want to go back and do that whole beginning of the show, I'm now changing my mind to say that I think it was a good idea for Henrik to start, because he would have played one game in a week. So now you're giving him two. He came off a good start
on
Saturday.
It's not the end of the world.
It is if you're going 3 days before your next start when you just had a good one, and you can follow it up with what, you know, they probably thought was going to be an easier game to just kind of get him in. Again, for the most part, I think Raanta should have started. But now, as we've talked about it more, I'm starting to see the logic in getting Henrik that start.
I'm reading too much into this, right?
I mean, it's
way too much into it.
It's an early season game. I think when push comes to shove, Henrik's going to be Henrik. We'll see at what level
I'm not worried about his play. He's going to have vintage Lundqvist numbers when we're sitting here in April going, wow, Hank won 38, 39 games again and had a 2.25 goals against. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the game, the amount of games he's going to start. It can't be 65-70.
I don't think it's going to be. I think that it's – Alain Vigneault said multiple times, like, when he looked at it, it's 50 to 58 games or something. And I think that ultimately Lundqvist will probably get, like, 62 games. But they're definitely trying to cut down.
Let's get back on the bright side. They're 4-2, and they look great. They could be 5-1, 6-0. The two games that they lost, they were the better team.
Agreed. I like the way this is going. Just let's find
games. A lot of promise here. I agree.
See you boys next week.
Can't wait.
Thanks again to Corey Hirsch. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.